more bears. I think I can make that happen.
Bear, please stop!
Please refrain from shooting lasers onto the field.
A little bit cheeky with it.
Show the ball from the bricks.
Between two bears. Welcome to a live edition of Between Two Bears. It's been an interesting week. There were a lot of big questions. Before we get into that, just letting you know, we are brought to you by the Dave Campbell's Texas Football Republic of Football Network.
That's right.
And Home Field Apparel for the best quality retro-inspired collegiate apparel, homefieldapparel.com. Use code MoreBears for 15% off your first order, or just use a different email address. 10% off returning customers.
Free real estate. It's free real estate. I used the promo code myself recently, Matt. I did the little March Madness weekly giveaway thing they did. I got a bunch of new stuff.
What did they send you? Was it like the randomized box thing?
Yeah, I got a Michigan shirt. It's really comfortable. I got an Iowa shirt. I got an LSU shirt.
Oh.
And I got three other shirts. Oh, one of them was like a home field, shirt.
The core collection, which I actually wanted to bring up, I've been a black Nike sock guy almost my entire life, or white Nike sock guy, depending on the color of the basketball shoes that I'm wearing at the time. They have the core collection socks, retro style. I think I might give them a spin. They look super comfy. They look super comfy. Might have to spin those up.
I've never tapped into those. Maybe I should give me some.
Look them up. That's all you have to do. It's very easy. Homefieldapparel.com. Code More Bears. We are live on YouTube and Twitter right now. If you are here, drop a comment in. That would be cool.
Ring those bells, you know?
I get tired of listening to myself, which probably means I'm in the wrong business here, but I want to make this as interactive as possible. Evan said he doesn't want to make this interactive. He said he doesn't want to hear from anybody.
Don't say nothing.
Like I said, it was a week of really big questions. There were a lot of different questions being asked. We got one big question answered, but one remains. Evan, are you surprised that Bryson DeChambeau is 7 under? At the Masters today. This is the question on everybody's mind. He's 7 under after 18 holes.
He's the guy who's like strong as hell, right? That's his whole thing.
He is the strong as hell guy. You're exactly right.
Yeah. No, I'm not surprised. Tell me about the Masters a little bit. Tell me, is this one of those years where the course is particularly difficult?
Augusta is way more difficult for some golfers, and it fits the play style of others very well. It is all about accuracy. Tiger's 1 under, which is really good. Like, I don't care what Tiger shoots this year. I truly don't. I just want Tiger to finish the tournament. Make the cut, finish the tournament. Honest to God, don't make the cut. I don't care. Just be healthy through the amount of time that you are allotted to play. That's all I care about.
It's held together by bubble gum and scotch tape.
Chicken wire at best. Yeah, he is complex medical history there for Mr. Woods.
Sure.
But I don't think a lot of people are showing up to talk Masters just yet. We do want to talk about Coach Drew. We'll get into the details here, but Coach Drew, I think now, is going to be a Bear for life. Earlier this month, Baylor Nation, I chose this shirt very specifically, Baylor Nation, because that's kind of what I'm feeling. Baylor Nation fights off the unwanted advances of Louisville trying to hire their next failed coach. Scott Drew's not going to be their next failed coach. Says no. Boy, Louisville fans were delusional at best.
Who do they think they are? I am, you know?
Who do you think you are? I am. So I thought we were done. I thought we did the annual thing where delusional school and fan base tries to hire Scott Drew, and then it all goes away after a week or two. Tuesday-ish, we get the idea that Kentucky's actually taking a close look at firing Cal. Your reaction to Cal, Kentucky, the divorce there. What do you think?
Seemed like a couple that had been married for 30 years that had been only dating for about 22 years. That's how it felt. You know what I'm saying? They did not seem to like each other much at all. I don't blame him.
Coach Cal.
He has underperformed, maybe the most underperforming coach of the last decade, I would say.
Ooh. And then we get into like weird definitions of success. Like what is being a successful college basketball coach, stuff like that. And I'm not ready to call Coach Cal like an unsuccessful head coach. He was very clear. I don't remember what year this was, but this is when I did a 180 on Coach Cal. He said that his main goal was to get kids into the NBA
and act like he don't know nobody.
His main goal was to get kids into the NBA. And at that point I was like, okay, well, if that is your main goal, you are extremely successful. All right. I don't know who G is. He knows ball. He doesn't stay. He's really good at getting players in the NBA. Devin Booker, De'Aaron Fox, Boogie Cousins, like a lot of the impact players in the league are Kentucky grads under, well, maybe not grads, but Kentucky players under
Kentucky the Cal regime.
Kentucky participators. That's exactly right. So when you look at the results that Cal, by the way, we'll get to that breaking news in just a minute. There is some breaking news that have just happened. We'll get there in a sec. We have the best producer in the business right now. Private chat. Don't say anything, but check the private chat. We have the best producer in the business.
Oh, wow. Okay. Look at that.
Coach Cal was wearing on fans' nerves aggressively with always being able to point to the next recruiting class saying, hey, we have all this talent coming in. It's going to be better next year. And then the next year is disappointing. And then sure enough, he has another five-star rich class coming in, and then it's disappointing. And then you lose to Oakland in this year's March Madness, and that was just the final straw. I think for both sides. Is that the vibe you got?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I was actually reading the tweet about this breaking news and was not paying attention to you for about 10 seconds.
That's fine. I don't think anybody was paying attention to me. This is for me, not for anybody. Good. So,
and that's important, listener, that you know that this is really just for us.
This is really not even for you. This is just for me.
This is for Matt. Only for Matt.
Only for Matt. The split felt mutual. I felt like Cal was done with the crazy fans and done with the unreasonable expectations.
Dude. Who would want to coach for those fans?
Well, that brings us to our next point here, right? So Kentucky goes looking, and I knew it was going to be insane when the report started coming out that they were targeting Dan Hurley from UConn, fresh off of a back-to-back championship run. Very plausibly looking to win three in a row.
Yeah, of course they were looking at him.
I cannot imagine a lower. He is the one coach in the country. There is nobody less likely to change jobs right now than Dan Hurley. Nobody. But if you wanted to find a second place to least likely to change jobs, it might be the guy at Baylor, and that is Scott Drew.
Uh-huh.
Tuesday and Wednesday were an anxious blitz on Baylor fans' psyches.
Not for me.
Not for you. And this is what I wanted to touch on. immediately you were adamant that Scott Drew, you would not feel anything if Scott Drew left. And I want you to defend yourself here a little bit.
What does he owe us?
Nobody's saying that he, nobody's saying he owes us anything. I want to make that clear. I don't think anybody really truly feels like he owes us something, because I don't think that. But it would impact his legacy. Your policy is if you spend 20 years in Waco, you can leave and do whatever.
Two decades in Waco, get out of there. No hard feelings, bub.
So you wouldn't, you would not have felt in any way, shape, or form resentment or, all right, you're the opponent now, I hope you lose.
No, because I'm not going to watch any Kentucky basketball either way.
Fair. So, okay. So Baylor that. Baylor matches up against Kentucky in non-conference or in the tournament. And it's like any other team too.
Pretty much.
No emotional connection there whatsoever.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about the first 5 years of any Scott Drew tenure. He's going to get his shit kicked in. I've seen it. I know.
Well, we've only seen one.
Yeah.
Tenure here at Baylor. Like one real
one. I saw it. And it wasn't good.
Yeah. To be fair, it wasn't at Kentucky. It was at Baylor.
I feel like if coaching at Baylor is like a La Crusade, you know, one of those fancy ass.
Coaching at Baylor is like a La Crusette Dutch oven.
Yes. If
coaching at Baylor is like a Dutch oven, you heard it here first.
Yeah. So if coaching at Baylor is like a Dutch oven, coaching there would be at like fucking coaching in an Instant Pot. Like, he's not built for that. A lot of coaches are built for a lot of things. I think he would have been chokeslammed through a table by this time if he had been.
I understand what you were getting at. It was a pressure metaphor. You were using pressure
cooker
imagery.
Pressure cooker, if you will.
Understood. Yes, I agree. It would be a nice green La Crusette. If you're in the chat, is it La Crusette or La Crusade? I don't know which one it is.
Chat, sound off, chat.
So you get through Tuesday where it's starting to bubble. Cal, Deontay, help me out here. Did Cal get fired? Not fired, but did he leave on Tuesday?
I'm not sure. I think the specific day. It might have been Monday.
Monday, didn't Cal leaves. It officially accepts Arkansas on Tuesday or Wednesday, one of the two. But
didn't he ask Kentucky to counteroffer and they were like, go be with God?
Exactly right. That's why I think both sides were equally. I don't think that he was going back to Kentucky to really hoping that they countered the offer. I don't think that's what his motivation was. I think his motivation was to do the due diligence and say, meh, please don't.
Well, let me ask you this, Matt. Let's say Scott Drew did leave today. Who would we have hired? What do you think that looks like? Don't tell me it's one of those guys who left in the last few years. That's boring.
That is who it would be. And by the way, shout out to, I am not the kind of person who feels the need to like go get insider information as soon as it is available, like on forums and stuff. I do have to give a shout out to the, I'm really not, I'm truly not. Like if I know somebody, which I don't, I would maybe ask. And then that person inevitably knows nothing either. But shout out to the Sikkim 365 guys. Ashley Hodge over there did a fantastic job keeping people updated.
Really their magnum opus, I would say. They've been in their bag.
It's up there. I was not
good for them.
I was not a subscriber before the Rule hiring or before the Nikki Collin hiring. But I signed up and it was great. So free plug for them. They did great work over there.
For a while, I consumed too much content. You know, I had to shed some sort of content. But when I was there, it was nice. I enjoyed my time.
Yeah. So shout out to them. But in terms of who we would hire, it absolutely would have been one of the assistants. It absolutely would have been.
You think Jerome Tang would have came home? I would have liked that.
I don't think Jerome Tang would have been. I think for me personally, it would have been John Jacobs or Grant McCaslin. And I would have been fine with either. My preference would be Jake.
People keep saying that. Can you pretend like I don't know anything about those guys and tell me why you think that? Why specifically do you think those guys would have been a good fit to cook here?
Familiarity with Baylor. And who's on the roster now. Roster continuity, holding that roster together. And just basketball intelligence is my thought. I do want to put us on a quick pause right here. We have a special guest, and I want to welcome in right now, Shehan Jeyaraja, a good buddy, national college football writer for CBS Sports.
We had a capital J in the chat, folks.
We had to get Big J in here. That works really well on like multiple levels. How much sleep have you gotten over the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 days, even though you're not covering this story directly? Because I saw you in the Our Daily Bears Discord at like 1:30 a.m. this morning. I was there too. Shehan, what's going on, brother?
That's just having a 2.5 month old. Like that had nothing to do with what's going on here. There was no new information. I was just sitting there, can somebody else post in this thing? Cause I have nothing going on. I'm trying to get off of TikTok a little bit. I'm trying not to scroll as much at 1 a.m. as I did before. And not so me. I was just like updating the Discord, updating Twitter, just being like, somebody entertain me, please.
If you're like me, I was expecting news to happen in that midnight to 2 a.m. hour. I figured that's when we would get the answer. It wouldn't drag on into today, Thursday. So from midnight to noon, I was just caffeinated and up. And of course, nothing happened. And I just got to be anxious for a couple hours. I imagine that was the same experience for everybody else. Shehan, your thoughts about how the progression of updates happened and what made this such a unique online experience, you know, especially for the Baylor fandom, but for Kentucky Twitter as well. You have the interaction of local TV reporters. You have the interaction of national guys. What's the first thing that hits you across the Tuesday to today landscape of what happened? What strikes you most?
Well, I think what's funny about how this all happened is that it felt like almost a throwback type search, just in terms of that Scott Drew is not built for the social media age. He's not built for the internet age with how he does things. He was like, I'm applying for a job and I'm going to send my wife to see whether she likes the area and then we're going to sleep on it. And when he said those things, it sounds like he actually meant that. Like that's how you choose a job when you're like a 37-year-old insurance salesman.
Okay. Hey.
Is that what you are? Listen, I'm having to remind myself these days that I'm 30. So
it's totally fine to be in your mid-30s. It's not that big of a deal. It's totally fine to be looking for a job.
Some people are
still in their 20s. Some people.
All I'm saying is that when you are one of the most high-profile college basketball coaches in the world, usually you don't go about your business that way. Usually a program like Kentucky wouldn't let you go about your business that way. But one, it's a tremendous show of respect to Scott Drew that they were basically like, sure, we'll fly your wife and kids out to see whether they like the neighborhood. That's crazy stuff. That never happens. I mean, think about some of the searches that have happened before. Dave Aranda, even as a good example, right? He won the national championship game on a Monday and was like Baylor head coach by like late Tuesday or something like that. You do not get to understand whether you like a place before you decide to become a head coach there. And so I think that from that perspective, it made all of this very unique. And then the other thing too is that I want to be clear, because I think that this maybe got a little lost in translation
Let me be clear. You have to do when you're here, you have to do the Obama voice when you say, I need to.
Let me be clear.
Very good.
I think that the people on the Kentucky side, like there are some of the local reporters, not all of them, some of them are just saying stuff, but like there are people who are quite connected on the Kentucky side who are reporting stuff on the Kentucky side. The issue is that what was happening on the Kentucky side wasn't actually relevant, because the only thing that was relevant was whether Scott Drew wanted to take the job or not. It wasn't the confidence that Kentucky's administration had. And it wasn't who was there or when they were there. It was, hey, this one guy needs to decide what he wants from life.
And not to interrupt, but it may not have even mattered what he wanted. It may have been all about what Kelly Drew was. Like, that's the great part.
In general, right? And exactly. So I think that, again, this is such a rare circumstance, because most coaches don't get to raise their kids and family in a place for 21 years and then decide whether they want to leave it, right? Usually,
hey, do you want to take the biggest job in college basketball or not? Like that was really the choice that was put in front of him. Or do you just want to remain and become even more of a legend where you are?
Right. And so it made it unlike almost any search and any internet conversation and all this sort of stuff that I've ever seen, because truly, nobody knew. There isn't this giant web of confidants that were involved with every step. There weren't these agency leaks. I mean, again, you know, obviously on the Baylor side, you know, you've got the great folks over at 365, like Kendall, who know a lot, and Ashley knows a lot. But even then, again, we were waiting to just know whether Scott Drew was going to make one legitimate decision or another. And that uncertainty, nature abhors a vacuum, is what they say. And there was quite a vacuum of information during a lot of this search.
Truly.
Yeah.
I think that was just indicative of who Scott Drew is, right? He's not going to go out there and tweet the eye emojis or like the pin emoji with his location tagged in it.
Oh, I would have loved that.
Now, that being said, I'm glad you're here, Shayon, because the posting over the last 24 hours has been
incredible posting.
Immaculate. And not just from one source. It's been immaculate from everyone. You can see here behind me, I'm just hanging out at my favorite mech. Whoa, went dark on the camera for some reason. Not sure why. Is that ominous? Don't know. You have a whole bunch of people thinking that Scott Drew is on this plane to Lexington, and an hour later, he tweets out, you know, just thinking about some things at lunch with my best bro and Allegiant Bank and yada yada. It's just... It's perfect. Your thoughts on the Mi Casita tweet and any other of the posters that were getting in work?
Mi Casita of it all.
Yeah, I think that in some ways, I don't think that Scott Drew understood
what
he was stepping into.
He was just at lunch with his buddy.
Right. And like, I think that he wanted to reassure people, like, I'm here. And I think that's all he thought it was going to be. And I don't think that he realized, oh, what this means is that Kentucky fans are going to try to get on the phone with me right now. I obviously have seen the story that somebody, I feel like there's no way that he posted this photo while he's still in the restaurant, right? Like I assume that he did it after the fact, but
you think he later grammed?
That was my assumption. That's how anybody who's a public figure would have done it. They wouldn't have let people know where they are right now. But also at the same time, I think that might be an indication of how just normal Scott Drew's life is living in Waco, Texas as coach at Baylor University. So that was tremendous. Again, I don't think that he had any idea whatever he intended by that this was going to go like this and that it was going to blow up like that.
The unintentional based poster, like that's where we're at. Based Scott Drew,
yeah.
Unintentional really does, mega poster. Like,
there's a couple like really high profile millionaires in Waco, and I think that they really do just live these like regular ass lives. Like when I was working at Common Grounds, Coach Drew like came through the drive-thru and just like gave me his credit card with like all of his you know, a lesser man could have done some really nefarious things with his credit card information in that moment. Instead, I just gave him his frozen caramel coffee crunch, you know, extra.
Was that really his order?
Yeah, of course it was, dude. Look at him.
Not surprising. That is actually the perfect segue. While Cheyenne is here, this was a great exercise in humanizing Scott Drew. Not that we really needed it. We get a lot of Scott Drew's real personality and who he is, and he's a very genuine person. But this was an exercise in learning more about who he is as a person, right? A big mm-hmm. choice helped us understand that. I think going to lunch at a Mexican place tells you a lot about a person. So I wanted to know from both of you, this is very specific. You're going to lunch at a standard Tex-Mex Mexican place. What is your order? Sean, start. I need to start with you. What is your order?
Yeah, I'm going something like tacos or fajitas, one of those two types mm-hmm. of things, because I think you want to stay a bit on the lighter side. The concern, sure. I think, if you're going for lunch is getting something huge and heavy, because then you got to live with yourself for like 8 more mm-hmm. hours. And so like if you're going yeah. dinner, then sure. But like I try to keep it a little more on the like manageable lighter side.
If it's like a Friday lunch, are you going Marg? Are you yeah. going Dos Equis?
Part of this is I have Fridays off.
Thursday.
Because I work
I have sources. Oh, Mister, I'm going to write some stuff.
Oh, Mister, I have to work Saturdays and Sundays during the fall. I'm not a big drinker in general, right? So like I'm not necessarily doing a marg on Fridays. Like I'm not opposed to it, but I'm not making it through the workday with a marg in my system.
Better man than me.
Fair. Evan, your order on like a Thursday or Friday lunch.
Am I in Waco?
Your favorite Mexican place? In any generic quality Mexican place.
First, I'm going to scan the menu. Yeah. I'm going to see if they got crawfish enchiladas. First order of business.
Okay. Not Ninfos. Anywhere else. Okay.
I really love just like a 3 soft taco plate, because I'm not going to eat all 3, but I want to eat
soft tacos. Huh? Okay. Like a tacos al carbon, or like just yes. like
I need to make some fajita chicken.
Not chicken. Probably like bistec.
Okay.
Some sort of beef, some sort of darker meat.
And you are going beverage on like a Friday lunch or a Thursday lunch, yeah, probably.
Either 3 yeah. beers or 1 big marg, depending on like, I think the goblet. That's
3, yeah, goblet situation is important. My next question for you guys is, what does Scott Drew order for lunch at a Mexican place? I've been thinking about this for 24 hours.
Tacos, hold the tomatoes, and double rice, no bean.
That's do you think they're crunchy tacos? Yeah. Do you think they're the crunchy tacos, right? They have
definitely.
To
definitely.
I mean, like, seriously, I feel like he probably orders like a salad. Like, I feel like that's his
taco salad, actually.
Like, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My He's God.
Taco salad.
I'm sure he should have tweeted out, Mi casita has the best taco salads. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, my gosh. Nobody has better Mi casita than Waco, Texas. I love
Hispanic. We should have announced that he's coming back. No, I do think, look, I mean, Scott Drew, you know, the photo that they posted, Baylor Athletics, like you said, it's been going pretty crazy today. Yeah. They did a nice reference to the Mi Casita lunch. And the photo that they posted when he's coming back is like this incredibly like Southern dad photo of him holding a giant fish.
Yeah.
So like I could see him going with like a fish tacos too. I could see him, but ooh, I feel like he'd have to catch good. The fish and like grill it himself. That gotcha. Would be like his move more gotcha. Than going to a place and getting it. I will say, so, you know, before I head out, so I did get to a point yesterday, where, you know, you go through all the stages of like shock and like confusion and then like kind of acceptance. And for me, it was funny. Because, you know, one thing that Ashley Hodge over at Sikkim365 has said a couple of times is Scott Drew's going to be someone who probably retires early, like more of a Jay Wright, who he retires around 60, right? And I think that makes sense. Yeah, and frankly, he should. Good for him. Yeah. But I will say, like, I'm glad that we didn't have to reach this point already, but wow, are there some good options if Baylor did have to make another hire.
And you don't even have to go outside the tree.
It's crazy because we were, like you were mentioning, we were having a discussion in the Our Daily Bears Discord, and some people were like, do we have to go tree? And I'm like, look, here's the thing that you have to realize is that hiring Jerome Tang or Grant McCasland or you know, John Jackson is probably the little more of a stretch because you know him. But like hiring one of those other two guys, that would be a home run hire for any program.
It was a great hire for Tech before he 100%. Had the head coaching experience.
If Kentucky hired Jerome Tang or Grant McCasland, that would be a good hire. Like that would be a solid, solid hire. It wouldn't be super exciting for everybody, but it would be a good hire that was worthy of that program. Louisville was engaged with Jerome Tang. Arkansas was engaged with Jerome Tang. I do want to say, Matt, I was curious too. And look, I don't do basketball full time. I'm not as in the weeds as, of course, like some of the reporters who do it full time. I'm curious why you say that and why people are kind of saying that McCasland was the more realistic choice than Tang.
I don't know about realistic or not, just my preference. I think Jerome Tang, I don't know that Jerome Tang would come back to Baylor because I think he is truly embracing building his own style in Manhattan. And I almost don't want to interrupt that because I'm having fun watching it. Like with Lil Baby.
I don't care.
Like is Jerome Tang bumping Lil Baby like in the Baylor locker room and having that on TikTok? Yes. Maybe.
Have you watched Nikki Collin Cook? Have you watched
that? That's true. That's true. Very true. Yeah. I would be absolutely thrilled if he decided. I guess it's more of a realistic thing in my head than reality. Shaun, I know you have to get out of here. You've actually spent 2 minutes longer with us than you said you were able to. I appreciate that. I'm going to give you the floor, and I'm going to give you the grace that I do not give Evan at the end of episodes. You can talk your way out the door
as long as you like.
Yeah, you can stay as long as you want to.
No, I think this obviously was not something that we expected heading into this offseason. I thought that once Louisville passed and I thought that he was going to pass up Louisville, I felt pretty good that Scott Drew was going to be the head coach here for a little while longer. The fact that arguably the number one job in college basketball came after him, you know, North Carolina, Kansas, you know, there's obviously a couple others, but like arguably the number one job in college basketball, not just offered him, but through everything that they had, put their entire reputation on the line. That's so embarrassing. Said land Scott Drew, and then he's like, "I'm happy at Baylor University." I want people to understand how crazy that is. That is
it's not a new world.
Normal.
It's a new world.
And again, like, you know, there would have been conversation like, "Oh my gosh, he would be the first coach who was happy at a place who won a title to then leave that place." Like, I know obviously what that would have felt like and looked like. I mean, the dude's been here 21 years. If he had decided to leave, like, I wouldn't have been happy about it. But like, you know, you kind of get it. Like, maybe you just want to try something new. But to retain him, to obviously retain what's, you know, everything that they have coming in next year, retaining the infrastructure that they've built here. I mean, it is crazy what Scott Drew has been able to build at this place. And, you know, from my perspective, I really hope that that they're able to kind of follow through and obviously hopefully get another title, hopefully get to another Final Four at least. So Scott Drew can kind of get that surefire Hall of Fame resume and kind of cement that. And the other piece, too, I tweeted this after the news came out, after I, you know, the fact that O.J. Simpson died like minutes before we learned this news was just like the most confusing thing that's ever happened to me. But I legitimately, you have to, I, I mean, I know that right now the floor is named after someone else. I feel like you have to start having that conversation with Mrs. Bill Gates and say, hey man, like let's be adults about this. Or if it's time to get started on the statue or whatever it is, like I feel like you have to do something like that. Like
it's statue time. It's definitely
I feel like it's statue time. Because I mean, look, if he goes through this and comes through the other side, like, come on, man, you got to get a move on with that. It's been more than 20 years. He deserves to have something named after him. You don't have this stadium if not for him. And certainly, you know, you can make that argument about another coach who decided to leave. And guess what? When you leave, you don't get any of that stuff. He decided to stay. And a big part of the reason that he decided to stay was to get this stuff. And so I would like to see some level of move on, some way of honoring him in the short term. Obviously, you know, when he retires and down the road, when he's got, you know, another championship, hopefully more Final Fours, like we can even do more. But like, it's time, man. It's time to do something. It's time to step.
It is. It definitely is. Shan, if you're good for like 30 more seconds, we're going to drop the breaking news. I'm going to get your reaction as if you were texting me your reaction to this breaking news. Kentucky has made a coaching hire, reportedly. It is Mark Pope from BYU. What would you text back to me if I sent you that link?
Couldn't get the Baylor God, so I had to settle for the Pope, I guess.
Oh,
there we go.
Oh, that's pretty good.
The other thing that I'd say, too, is that, man, they're going from Drake's best friend to Taylor Swift's biggest fan. That is wild. That is going to be a culture change in Lexington, Kentucky. But I do like the hire. It's gonna take a minute, I think.
It's going to take a minute. I think it's going to be better than a lot of people are initially reacting. I think it's going to be okay. But how okay is okay for Kentucky fans? That is the question.
Never.
Nothing. Not one thing.
It's going to be a bad week. And then I think that, because similar deal with Louisville hired College of Charleston's head coach and everybody's like, what the hell? And then it's like, oh, we've got a real coach who just landed players. That's cool. Yep. And I think that's going to happen with Mark Pope too. And he's a great X and O's coach. He did a tremendous job at BYU this year. And now he's going to get to play with a multi-million-dollar NIL budget instead.
Exactly.
Maybe he'll finally win his first NCAA tournament game too while he's there.
That would be the first, what, since 20, like the second maybe since 2019?
Yeah, it'd be their first. I think that would be a good start too. Yeah.
All right.
I gotta get going.
Shayhan, get out of here. You can find him on Twitter at Shayhan Jayaraja. Thank you for joining us. Go be a father. Get out of here.
Be a family man.
That's my guy right there. Love that guy.
You know, I ran into him at the Sugar Bowl a few years ago. We were both in the field, not to brag. And we hadn't yet become friends. So we sat there and we talked for like 30 seconds about nothing. And then I was like, all right, see you later.
Pew.
He is the person who sent me that Matt Rule smock. He just DM'd me. I was like, hey,
oh, really?
Yeah. He got it to like a Macy's and just sent it right to me.
Matt Rogers in the chat says Mark Pope can't win with 25 and 26 year olds. How will he win with teenagers? Matt, look, buddy, if you can take a bunch of guys that look like me, if I didn't drink like a bunch of caffeine every day of my life in high school, and win like really big 12 games, I think you're a good coach. Like, because I know those guys are older.
Games. I don't know, Matt. I don't know if he's good.
I think he is good. I'm not saying capital G good. I'm not saying better than good. I'm not saying very good. I'm not saying great.
Okay.
But I think he is a quality coach. That was awesome. I love having Shayhan on. He is a great guy. Do you think Scott Drew orders his Tex-Mex with an accent, or does he say it the white
not
guy
anymore.
Texan way?
I think he used to.
Every dad goes through a phase of trying to either they have to decide if they're going to be, say, fajitas and like try to roll R's when it's not natural, or just say fajitas, or fajitas, enchiladas. or enchiladas?
Honestly, in my brain, he's like 9 years old. So he's like a mini. He's like a this one guy. You know what I'm talking about? Like finger covering the number on the menu. I'll have this one. No tomatoes. God,
I know you did not. So in your mind, yeah. Scott Drew is a developmentally disabled like 9-year-old personality.
I think he is a perfectly functioning, well adjusted 9-year-old
adult.
Boy.
Oh. So this is a big situation. Where what movie was that? Robin Williams. Somebody in chat, tell me what was Tom that Hanks. Big?
You're thinking Tom Hanks big.
Is that where he's a kid in an adult's body?
Yes, because he goes
okay.
to the
all right. All right, I've never actually seen the movie. Okay. The posting was great. I loved that during this process, we also got two plane tracking situations. The first plane, which was Scott Drew's family going from Waco to Lexington. But then this morning, we got another plane. He works at a toy company. That sounds like a shit movie. I'll be completely. That sounds like Santa Claus.
He worked at FAO Schwartz, Matt.
Oh, the toy company, not just.
Yeah, he was on the big piano. He was dancing on the big piano. And then he got a big ass apartment and he had all this cool shit in it. You need to watch that movie.
I think I'll never watch that movie ever. Okay. Like ever. Yeah. Two plane searches, like two plane trackings, a plane this morning that people thought was heading back to Kentucky, but it was just some guy who owns a Bobcat company. It had nothing to do with anything. Then there was another plane coming from Kentucky. They thought it might be turning around back to Waco, but it was headed to DC or something like that. So we got multiple plane trackings. And then Chip Gaines weighed in at some point yesterday. Chip Gaines weighed in.
We called him the big guns.
We called him the big guns. I did learn don't come for Chip Gaines on Twitter. He is reading his mentions and not just the verified ones.
If your wife is horny for someone, do not attack them on the internet.
If there is potential for your wife or mother to be horny for this person, do not at them on Twitter. We need to write a book on this, Evan. Like Twitter, not etiquette, but like how to stay safe on Twitter as a straight white man.
Yeah, how to keep your job, how to keep your home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I think this is a great book. Sure. Legitimately, I think this is an ebook idea.
Oh my gosh.
Do you know how many we could sell to boomers?
We could find an illustrator. Look, this is a great idea, Matt. What do you think it would be called?
We'll get Steady Eddie from Twitter.
Eddie in.
To illustrate it.
Rule number one is don't involve Eddie in any of
that's true.
Ideas.
That's true. Rule number one, don't involve Eddie. Team Bart, by the way. Chip Gaines gets mentioned by this dude. He goes, who TF is Chip Gaines? He replies with, do you kiss your mom with that mouth? ... Ask her who I am. She'll know.
Man.
A nuclear bomb.
Yeah. See, you can't
on this guy
into that. He threw him a meatball.
You can't do that.
That's the thing. Actually, one of the rules that would be included in this is if you're someone who's like maybe right wing adjacent or maybe like Joe Rogan curious, and you think it's going to be an own to ask
who is this guy?
The only thing you're doing is you are like leaning forward and you're offering them like your cheek to
just
punch as hard as they can. That's all you're doing. You know?
I completely agree. And then like Sean mentioned Baylor Athletics, and I think somebody else mentioned it in chat. The Baylor Athletics account today has been just on one. Wigtool, yeah, Matt Wigtool. Baylor Athletics tweet was the best collegiate athletics department tweet of all time. Foster Pavilion handshake emoji, our casita with somebody just pouring tortilla chips into a bowl. Super simple, but just an acknowledgement of like Baylor Twitter. It's good stuff. It's really, really good stuff. I enjoyed it very, very much.
Matt, look at that tweet I just put in this private chat. I can't believe what I'm reading.
Oh, boy. Okay. So this tweet says, I actually had the idea of reading just randomly popping in with random Kentucky fan tweets. We have one right here from at @ML_BBN. I can already predict the headlines. Quote, Kentucky pursues Scott Drew. Quote, Scott Drew signs lifetime contract with Baylor. Quote, Kentucky has reached out to Billy Donovan. Quote, Kentucky set to announce Mark Pope as next head coach. This was tweeted. The interesting part about this was tweeted on January 12th. Of last year, not 2024, 2023 of last year.
They've known that Kentucky is a dead dynasty. They got no juice. They got no juice.
That is remarkable. The phenomenon of people like accurately. Now, look, the number of tweets that go out into the world on a daily basis.
It's like the Alex Jones going, thing, you know?
Exactly. The people are scared. Going to get. Wait, I'm sorry. I did not mean to just blindly agree with you saying it's like an Alex Jones thing.
Oh, no.
Can you explain that a little bit more carefully?
He puts out so much nonsense and so much.
Oh, a blind squirrel situation.
Yeah, it's like a blind squirrel thing.
That's probably the better thing to say than the Alex Jones thing.
No, because it's a thing, because there's this whole thing where it's like Alex Jones was right again, but it's like, yeah, he's batting 0.13, you know?
Yes. So broken clock, blind squirrel, the whole thing.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Completely agree. What a wild prediction to make and have come true as well. Evan, thoughts about Scott Drew staying, thoughts about Scott Drew as a poster, thoughts about the entire process leading up to this before we get into what's going to be coming up here in the future.
All good stuff for me, man. You know how I feel. He could have left. It would have been fine. I don't think he'll ever leave. We were talking about this week. I don't think if he doesn't leave for this, what does he leave for?
I mean, he won't. Trip, maybe. There is not a job that is more attractive in terms of what it can offer Scott Drew in the country.
And
you think about this, Duke wouldn't do it because it's on the same ish level as Kentucky, and they're not going to hire Scott Drew anyway. They like keeping things in house, kind of an inbreeding situation at Duke. I didn't say it; somebody else did.
Someone else.
But like any other SEC school, like Tennessee wouldn't do it. UConn, probably not.
Here's the thing. I think this also further solidifies whenever we do have to go find ourselves a new coach, we're going to be able to get whoever the hell we want. Whoever the hell we want. Think about it, Matt. When we had to hire a new ladies coach, we got the reigning WNBA coach of the year. Who's doing that?
Okay. That leads me to my next point. People who are talking shit about Mack Rhodes. Mack Rhodes has not done a perfect job during his tenure at Baylor. He has not been perfect. The dude has made good hires every single time. Mitch Thompson is still under review, but like you can't really say it's a bad hire when Mitch Thompson was part of the most successful Baylor baseball season in modern history. So Matt Rhule, the new guy, I'm blanking on our football coach's name.
Dave Aranda.
I only had Spavital in my head because I'm very excited about the offense.
You're spavin' out. Yeah.
I'm spavin' out, bro. And Nikki Collin. And Mitch Thompson, like, he's made good hires. If Drew had left, this would not have, everybody I've talked to, some in the know, some not, like, nobody with a right mindset has put this on Mack Rhodes. So, and obviously he got the job done, so it's a moot point. You know why it's a moot point?
Let's hear it.
Do you know why it's a moot point? Because cows are dumb and what they think, it doesn't matter anyway.
Talk about it.
Yep. And yeah, Ryan Parker, who's been awesome in the chat today, Max tied to Dave Aranda at this point. I think that's probably accurate.
Yeah,
he did. Yep. Regardless of how many other good things he's done. He is kind of tied to that football hire. I tend to agree. It's Scott Drew look. Today also tweeted, thank you, Chip Gaines, for the cupcakes, with a picture of a silo's box of cupcakes. Just real
that's
posting
me, would
going
a 9-year old tweet that? Would a 9-year old tweet that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Right. Let's look forward for Baylor basketball. Baylor 2024 specifically, what is the outlook? I can give you the rundown of what I think. It's up to you.
I think the golden era is here. I think for as long as Coach Drew is here, every year I will be pretty sure we could win the whole thing. And I don't know what else you could ask for.
Hopeful, right? Like there is hope based in reason that you could win a championship. Hope based in reason. I think that is the line for me. And it's hard to measure. It is hard to measure. A lot of it is subjective.
Also,
but
we got a guy coming in. Last name is Edgecombe. Now that, to me, pure comedy.
It's really good. It's really good. Let's talk about the best recruiting class. Let's talk about that for just as a concept. The best recruiting class in Baylor history.
Yeah.
VJ Edgecombe. Rob Wright, who I can already tell I'm going to love this kid.
I'm going to call him
Wob White. Widowy Wob White.
Widowy Wob White.
Widowing onto Hados.
Hitting the gwitty.
Hitting the gwitty onto Hados, of which they owe me. Donald Trump as a literally kid, like a suey kid.
Widowy.
iPad kid.
A perfect uncle.
and that, not to mention Jason Asamoah. So,
yeah, not to mention
this class,
big man in the mix.
Oh man, and we haven't gotten an announcement from Jacoby Walter yet. We did get the announcement from Yves Missy. He's going to the NBA draft. He's hiring an good agent, so he's gone. Missy, go get the bag. Like, dude, you've been playing basketball for 5 years, and you're gonna go top 20-ish.
Get a bunch
in the
million
NBA
dollars.
Draft.
Yeah.
Dude,
smart
that's
guy.
Wild. I love it. So, Charles in the chat says, when does Scott Drew get his random portal stud, Matt? Great question. I don't know who it's going to be. I really like the guys that we are targeting for this offseason. I don't have any insider information on who that is going to be, but I'm excited. I'm excited. So you have the new transfer portals potentially coming in. We don't know who those are going to be. I'm hearing optimism about that, though, like strong optimism about that. And then you have your new conference opponents coming in. Arizona, quality team, going to be a tough game no matter where you play them.
Uh-huh.
Arizona State, win. Utah, depending on the night, very high quality or medium quality, right?
That Utah and women's
Colorado
team bolster our conference. I know that much. I can't speak about the men's team, but I know their ladies team is a bunch of real hoopers.
Real hoopers that we beat very easily. They're not a challenge for us,
but they were a
but for the rest of the conference.
Got here, you know?
Yeah. I mean, not after, but
not
like
after.
Before.
No one is. No one is.
I mean,
after
no,
this.
No one is.
You know.
And then, of course, Colorado, who always seems to have a dude. They never have a full team, but they have a dude. They're losing Eddie Lampkin. We can take a quick trip around the Big 12 if you want.
I mean, if you want. I'm not going.
I just wanted to point out that Houston is returning everybody except for the one guy that makes their team successful.
Yeah. Thanks, Houston.
Jamal
Shedd,
I'm going to the draft, but they return everybody else. Okay, we saw what that did.
Not worried.
Congratulations, I guess.
Not worried.
And it's also very funny that West Virginia is losing everyone, and they still don't have any assistant coaches. The only transfer that West Virginia is getting in, like incoming, is the new coach's son. So Darian DeVries is the new coach.
Oh yeah,
his son Tucker is the only incoming transfer. So
hell yeah.
Yeah,
that rules. Good for them.
It's certainly something. Evan, while I check our BOFA line and anything else, let me know if there's something that you wanted to chat about.
Did I want to chat about anything? Nope. I got nothing. Weather's nice here in Chicago. I've been spending a lot of time outside. I got a gym membership.
You're hitting the gym quite a bit.
My best friend from Baylor actually lives near me and the gym that I've signed up to. So I've been going with him. He's been teaching me how to.
Shout out, Scotty.
Today, he showed me how to use the pec fly machine. He called them the booby maker. So I got on the booby maker. I did a little booby making. I also today I learned how to use the machine where you like stand on the platform and then pull that bad boy up. I'm having trouble keeping my back straight. I'm an archer.
It happens. You'll build up some of those support muscles.
But I feel like I've trimmed some face weight. Look at my arms. I'm starting to get a little definition in here. I'm trying to get abs. I'm trying to get abs, Matt. That's what's going on here. I'm trying to get to that beach.
More bears.
I've had about
enough. I think I make that happen.
20 girls on the beach.
20 girls.
Please refrain. 20 girls. Shooting lasers onto the field.
A little bit cheeky with it.
I'm unemployed. If you need me to work for you, get at me on Twitter or something. Sick 'em.